Hold your hand there in Acts chapter 5. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 12. Man, Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Hold your hand right there. And then I'm going to just read this scripture from first. Brother Mike, this scripture is on my heart today. And I don't know why, but it's on my heart, and I'm just going to read it. When the Lord puts something on your heart, you ought to share it. And look at, how many got Acts 12, 5? Hold your hand, because I'm coming back to that. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. That we're going to need about $700 to fix our air conditioner, because the one gave up the ghost. What's the part I got to buy, Billy? I got to buy a compressor, unless someone's got a compressor for my air conditioner out there. I need $700. Anyways, yes. So does Billy, but I could. But Bill, that's what Bill's doing right to his company. Could you ask Chuck for me? Just Billy, just a compressor? Yes. Billy, could you give Mrs. Kelly your telephone so Chuck could call you? Chuck's a member here too. It's her husband. Get with Billy, okay? All in favor of the business meeting, say amen. You know what, though? As soon as I get done here, I've got another meeting. And so, boy, Billy Turner's, I'm going to talk to you about Brother Billy in a few minutes here. I'm going to have to pray for Bill Turner. And by the way, Brother Billy, I talked to Billy yesterday, our preacher boy in Lima. He's going to be with us on Sunday night, Father's Day Sunday night. And Billy, I've asked Billy to preach that Sunday night. And we're going to get little Bill Jr. to play the piano that night too. Wasn't little Billy phenomenal? Man, I'll tell you, Bill, I'm so proud of your kids, your grandkids and your kids, I'm telling you. Yeah, I'm so proud of him. And Linda right next to you, I'm proud of all of them. I really am. Yes, we do want America back. Yes. Amen. And then a lady down here, we were going door to door, and she's about eight houses down on the left-hand side here, Mrs. Thayer. She gave me and Rosie a beautiful organ about a year ago. It's immaculate. And we gave it to Bill. They still got it, don't they? Did they put it inside their church? Yeah. Yeah. She gave it to Rosie. She called me up. She comes to her ABL program. She comes to her ABL program so often. And she said, Pastor, she called me and Rosie and says, Rosie, I want to give you an organ. So I came down, it was her husband's, because he's been passed away. And it was old, but it was immaculate. I mean, it was immaculate. And it sounded off the charts. We picked up and put it in. Then I found out Billy wanted, we gave it to Bill. But Mrs. Thayer said she might come down here. Hopefully she'll come to visit our church again. But isn't God good? Okay, 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall all sleep, but we shall all be changed. If you're saved, hallelujah, one day Christ is coming back. The trump of God's going to sound, and we're going up. Amen. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm waiting for the upper taker. Amen? Here's how quick it is. In a moment, in a twink of an eye, at the last trump, the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Marty Dragich, we put his body in the ground today. Back in 1995, he trusted Christ. He was sitting right about where Jeannie, right in that, just maybe right behind you, Jeannie, right in that area. Maybe about where Steve is, but in that area, him and Betty were. I gave an invitation, and both of them asked Christ to save them that day. Back in 1995, they came while I baptized them in December of that. She said December 21, back in 1995. They came for a few years and they dropped out. But you know, once you're saved, you're always saved. Amen. And we buried him today. And I'm glad right now he's with the Lord. One day that old body that we put in the grave today up in Manaway, it's going to come out of that grave. Amen. And look at verse 53. For this corruptible, this old body that we have that gets old and sick and dies, must put on incorruption. Hallelujah. And this mortal must put on immortality. Man, I can't wait. I'm going to have a body that never dies, never gets sick. I love, if you got that book with Dr. Russell, I love what he said about Rolaids. Biggest lie in the world. Relief. What a lie. Rolaids don't give relief. Jesus Christ, having all your sins forgiven, that's what gives you relief. Amen. And so look at verse 54. So when this corruptible, this old crummy body, shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. That immortality means you're never going to die, live forever. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who can say amen? Amen. And then look at verse 58. Therefore, because you know all this is true about the rapture and about you getting a brand new body, how you're never going to die, how you're never going to get sick, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Brother Mike, we're just going to keep on keeping on. Keep on getting people saved. Keep on knocking on doors. Keep on baptizing. Keep on teaching. Keep on spinning that wheel and giving out candy, because it's not in vain. We're going to keep singing in the choir. We're going to keep doing the specials. We're going to just keep on preaching and keep on teaching and keep on giving and keep on telling people about Christ, because everything we do, D, it's not in vain. One day, we're going to be glad we did it. So let's keep on doing it. Now, I was telling Brother Coolidge the other day, we was on the phone talking about the rapture. I believe the rapture is going to happen. I believe it's going to happen soon. I don't know when. But I told Brother Coolidge this, I'm going to live today like there's no tomorrow. But I'm going to work like tomorrow will never come. In other words, I'm not going to stop working. Are you with me? I don't know when Jesus is going to come back. See, a lot of people say, well, what's the sense of giving? What's the sense of soul winning? He's coming back anyways. No, that's why we should keep going. Yes. I'm telling you right now, if I was given $1 million today, I'd start building that church. Ruthie, I'll be honest with you. I don't know. Even if I was given $1 million today, I'm going to need more than $1 million. But even if I was given money to build, I don't know if I'll see it. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to do all I can to get it built before he comes. Yes. And Brother Rod, I'm planning on preaching in it. I'm going to do all I can to get people to come to it and get them saved, because that's all that matters. Because you know what? Nothing's in vain. And by the way, I thought of something, Brother Coolidge. Even if we didn't get it built, do you realize even when we start to build out there, how many people it's going to affect? Even when we start to build on that land, before we even have it built, because there are multi-thousands of people, and I mean thousands, that know about us. Yes, sir. Everywhere I go, I have strangers come up to me that I've never even met. We had a lady come up to us in Cracker Barrel. I was with Russell Anderson, and she said, man, she went on and on. I kept talking to her for about 5 minutes. Amen, amen. She walked out of the Cracker Barrel Sunday. We took Russell to, well, Russ took us. He paid for everything. But boy, I wish all our people were like that. I like that he paid the bills. And Rosie said to me, who in the world was that? And I said, I have no idea. Russell laughed, and he said, Dr. Russell Anderson said, preacher, you're just like I am. People come up a lot of times. I don't know who in the world they are, but I just have a great conversation with them. Amen. She knew us. I think it's from an ABL club. I think she was in that group, would be the ABL club. And I'll tell you one thing. She knew who I was. I didn't have the faintest idea who that lady was, Mark. Had about a five-minute conversation with her. Went on, laughed, had a great time, just like I knew her all my life. She walked down the road and said, "Who in the world was that?" And I said, "Don't have the faintest idea." You can't believe how many people know about our church. There's a perfect stranger that called Ruthie this week that said she knew about our church. Mentioned my name. And I'll tell you, everywhere I go, people say, "Have you got started building yet?" I'm going to tell you, that's why Pastor Dave says we're going to need a big auditorium, because before we get that built, there's going to be hundreds of people here before we even get it built that are not here yet. Hello? Yep. And so let's just keep working. I don't know how much time I've got left. Let's do this. Let's not worry about the time as far as let's just make all the time we have count. Brother Phil, let's just keep on knocking on doors all the time. I don't know how many doors we can knock on, but Brother Phil, whatever time we have left, let's make sure we knock on them. Pastor Dave and I, we try to go out, we try to witness, and we try to go out every day. We go out on Saturdays, but we try to go out almost every day. And there's not a day that I don't witness to someone. And a lot of times, usually Pastor Dave goes out at 4 o'clock with people, and sometimes I go with him, sometimes I have my own things that we're doing. Me and Rosie go, we go and visit people. And so, but, you know, I always have tracks on me. I keep tracks in my car. I have 4 tracks in my car right now. I have the regular ones that Rod brought, our church track. I have classic car tracks. I have the biker tracks, because I don't know who I'm going to see. I have a David Skyver's card that sells automobiles. If someone's looking for an automobile, I have 4 cards. 3 of them are gospel. Amen. And fortunately, David usually, David says, "My dad's a preacher," and David usually witnesses to him. I'm glad. I'm proud of him. But we ought to have a heart, no matter where we are, someone needs to hear. I thought about Carl last week. I wish I had just stood up in front of Russell Anderson. 82 years old, Carl McDaniel, last Saturday, 82 years old, was knocking on doors. And there's a lot of times during the week, Dee and Arlene, a bunch of them, Sue Vance and Tammy, they've been going out during the week. They've been going out and visiting people. There's a lot. You just don't have to go on Saturday. We go 7 days a week. And they're like, Bobby goes out on Friday. Bobby goes on Thursday. You know, there's something going on here every single day. I'm not going to get to go where I wanted to go. Turn to Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Russell Anderson witnessed to this family that in the Marriott right before he left. It's a Filipino family. Lonnie, I called you and Mel. I was hoping Mel wasn't at work that day. I called your house. They're from Manila. They're in the pharmaceutical. They're like, they work with, they're not drug dealers, but they're in drugs. And I fell in, oh, her name is Joy. His name is Melvin. And he reminded me a little bit of Tito Mel. He kind of built kind of like Tito Mel. But he had a personality was just phenomenal. I mean, I just fell in love with the guy, right? Perfect strength. I said, "Man, I like you." He was a guy just like Cantaver. You warm up I warmed up Cantaver just like that. There's certain people just got something about me and say, "Man, that's a good guy." And Russell called me and said, "What are you doing? You got up at 3 o'clock and you went back to bed." I said, "No, sir, I'm over there working." He said, "Well, get down to that Marriott." He said, "I witnessed to a family and they're saved and they're moving in from Missouri. They're like executive people and they're looking for a home church." So I called and talked to him he was in room 112. They're moving in 2 weeks. I wish I could have got to him. I tried to get him over. The Filipinos are over in Streetsboro, but they bought a house already in Twinsburg. But when they come, I'm going to get you, Tito Mel. We're going to go visit them again. You and Lonnie and the folks, we're going to go see them again. But we gave them our cell numbers. We gave them our cards. And what a great family. They got 3 children. And they might even have a grandmother. I think that might have been grandma on the front porch, but I'm not sure. But what a great family. He witnessed to them. Then I called and talked to him. Then Dave and I went down there and actually met with him for about a half hour at the Marriott in the lounge that they have down. We prayed with him, Mark. Had a tremendous time. And Russell said, you better tell Bob Gray he's got to have five in your church. He's got to match what I left in your church. So I got to tell Bob Gray when he gets there, he's got to get put five like Russell did from the Marriott. But, okay. Wow. Look at Acts chapter 12, verse 5. You know what, folks? I wish, it's just like we're a big fan. I could sit here and talk to you all night. I haven't even told you half the stuff that Brother Russell said to me. And I just know that I've become real good friends with Russell Anderson. I'm glad our paths crossed. I really am. And I don't care if he gives us a dollar bill. I love Russell. He don't have to give us one penny. By the way, I told him right to his face. He was in tears. We were driving out to Cracker Barrel, and he was in tears. He said, I can't tell you what this flag meant to me. You soldiers, that flag meant a lot to him. He said, no one's ever done. I'll never get over this. And I said, Brother Russell, I know you're a millionaire. My people know you're a multimillionaire. We didn't call you in to get a dollar from you. I said, we called you here. I said, I didn't bring you to my church to have you give me $1. I said that right to his face. I said, you have done great things for Christ, and we did what we did today in honor of what you've done for the cause of Christ. And I want to thank you, because there's a man in the twilight. I don't know how much. I booked him, by the way. I booked him for May 22nd, 23rd next year. We're going to all meet on Saturday night out there at Hartville Kitchen on a Saturday afternoon. We're going to have a banquet. He's going to teach about money. I love talking about money. We're going to have like a stewardship. And who could better tell us? Brother Carl, a man that gave millions could talk up and say, here's how you give to God. And he put his mouth where his words were. Well, how do you say that? He put his money where the mouth was. Is that how you say it, Mark? I mean, you know, I was telling Brother Dave Ballard, a lot of people get up there and walk the dog like they really got stuff and do stuff. And Mark knows that not everything you hear from preachers all the time is always exactly how it is. Some of them walk the dog, but they're not really the dog that they're walking. Russell Anderson's the real thing. Russell Anderson's the real thing. And what greater man could we have teach us about giving and how you can save money in wills? Like, he could teach us how to do our wills and how to save money from estates and different like that. That man knows. He's smart. Man, that guy's smart. I had a piece of paper. D, I was writing everything. I kept trying to write stuff down. I said, let me write it. Give me that again. I want to write that down, what you said to me. You know? I want to try to learn all I can from that man. That man's a smart, he's a down-earth guy. But you don't get where you are, where he is, unless you've got something up there. And that guy is I love Russell Anderson, and he's a good man. And you know why he sent us those right away? He thinks it'll help us get souls saved. He sent a case of books, too, by the way, but just so we can reach people. Okay, where was I? Anyways, thank you for being a blessing to one of God's servants. We got another God's servant coming this Sunday, and I want to be a blessing to him, too. I really do. I want to be as big a blessing to Dr. Bob Gray as we were to Russell Anderson. The choir is going to do their singing. We got two specials from the choir. We're going to do that film. I want to do that video that you did with. I want to do that for Bob Gray, Dr. Gray also, and I've got to get those soldiers and the sailors together. And Brother Mike, I hope you can get them together for me. At least talk to them. We got to do it. We got to have it. Captain, I'm going to count on you to have it ready for me before you leave. I'm going to put you under pressure. And I've got the flag, and I've got, you know, I'll have it here. I'll bring it here. And, Sergeant, I'm counting on you. And I really am. Okay. Look at one verse, Acts 12:5. Oh, I wish it was time Sunday and I could turn back 1 hour. We could still be here. Peter, therefore, had, watch Acts 12:5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but watch. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And Brother Coolidge, I actually had planned tonight. I should have started at 6:30. I wanted to take your prayer thing. I've got my own, but I wanted to take your sheet that you, and I wanted us to go through that whole sheet. I can't do it next day. We got a missionary coming in, Brother Bob, from Haiti. He's coming in the 23rd, I think. But the next free Wednesday we have, we're gonna take the whole thing on prayer, because I want this church to be praying. Amen? Amen. Dr. Anderson said, preacher, you and your church need something from God. You pray to God to speak to my heart. That's what he said to me. He said, I get up every morning and say, God, speak to me. Who do I need to help? He said, people call me, I don't do it. But he said, if God puts them in my heart. So if you need to pray that God could speak to us, I mean, if the Lord wants him to help us, amen? Amen? Look at verse 5, Acts 12. Therefore, Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And you know the story? God heard their church's prayer, and he got released. Three things I'm going to state to you. First of all, prayer was made without ceasing of the church. We ought to get some, this church ought to pray as a group. We don't have to be together, but every day if we could all have a oneness in our homes and where we're at, to be praying for specific issues. Pray for the Hattie Lorham that we're doing. Pray for the VBS that's coming up. Pray for certain issues. Pray for God to send money for our new building. Amen? Different things. For instance, tomorrow, and we're going to go to the funeral. Brother Dave and I are going to go to Pastor Lowell Haggerty. He pastored there, 25, 30 years there? 40 years. 40 years over there at Lake Milton Baptist Church. They're going to have its funeral service at 1 o'clock. Pastor Dave and I are going to go. But we need to be praying for that church and his wife. They said, I know he was a great man of God, because I met him a couple, and 1611 King James Bible, Baptist, down the line, taught at Massillon Baptist College, I think. Was that him or his dad? His dad. But just, I'm talking about a solid guy in our camp, just like us. 40 years in that church. And he went to be with the Lord. Can you imagine how devastated that church is? Debbie said that his wife is just exactly like Rosie, playing the piano right by his side all that time. And can you imagine Mrs. Haggerty, how hurt she is losing her husband? And it just went, just died of an aneurysm, just like, took just sudden. So let's be praying for that church tomorrow. Also, Bill Turner. Billy called me, said, please have Bethel pray for me. Billy's got to preach a funeral in Lima tomorrow. Our Billy Boy Sunday Turner in Lima, Ohio. A young man that was 19 in his church was shot and killed. And Bill's got to preach that funeral tomorrow. And Billy said, please have Bethel pray for me. So how many pray for Billy? And pray for him tonight, and pray for, and remember him in the morning. And so I want you to pray for Bill Turner. I want you to pray for the funeral services tomorrow, and then for the people. I want you to pray also for Bob Gray to come. So, pray they'll save journey, and pray that God will give them the message that will speak to our heart. Pray that people will be saved. If you know what? If all of us would just bring down heaven, can you imagine what would happen here? Amen. Pray for Mrs. Anderson, that she'd be healed up. That's severe. 72 years old, two broken shoulders. Pray for George Greer. I wrote that. Coolidge's brother's dying. There's limited days left. Pray for Coolidge Greer's brother, George. Ann Davis is Billy's mom. She's home from the hospital, but she's still very weak. I was with her yesterday. And pray for Ann. Keep her in your prayers. Pray for Betty Dragage, who just lost Marty and their family. I mean, I could go on forever about prayer. Folks, pray for one another in our church, but we got certain things we could pray for. I don't have that. I don't have your Bible sheet in front of me, Brother Coolidge, but you've got it. They take time to make the pray. Take that prayer list and get down and say, God, call them to God one by one. Yes. Wow. See, I. Robinson, I'll try to see him tomorrow. 23-25. I'll try to get over there tomorrow. Mel, is your mama still in? I tried to get her. I never got there, Mel. I was at the funeral home last night till 8:30, and just never got over to the hospital. But I didn't forget her. I prayed for your mom, but I didn't forget her. I can still visit her out at her house if you'd like. I could go out and check on her, Victoria. Yes. Pray for Brother Mel's mother. Pray for Brother Mel Lowell's mother. Amen. How many? 89. Victoria's her name. Pray for Victoria. I didn't forget her. I didn't forget her. I remember you mentioned to me Sunday night about her. Had that funeral and everything just tied up today and every day. So number one, if you see in Acts 12:5, prayer was made without ceasing of the church. Bethel, I just want us to, let's be prayer warriors. Amen. Let's be prayer warriors. Number two, if you don't, I'm not going to read it, but in verse 6 and 7, you'll see prayer sets people free. you pray for people. A lot of people are in bondage. You start praying for them. Paul was in bondage. He was in chains, or Peter rather. Prayer, the prayers of that church, God heard him, and he got set free. Prayer can set people free. Number three, number one, I said prayers was made without ceasing of the church. Every church ought to have prayer without ceasing for specific things that they have in front of them. Number two, I said prayer sets people free. Number three, prayer unlocks and opens locked doors. If you'll see verse 10, the gate was locked, but yet it got unlocked. In verse 10, Peter walked right through the open gate, right past the guards, all because of prayer. You know, you say, oh, man, how can that happen? God can do, there's nothing impossible with God. And then if you look at verse, and the fourth thing, answering prayer brings rejoicing and more. When you get your prayers answered, it brings rejoicing. Verse 14, it says the young lady rejoiced when she saw Peter. When you get answered prayer, how many have ever prayed and had it answered? How many are happy? Prayer brings rejoicing, and answered prayer brings more faith to the believer that God is able. And I want to encourage you. I really want to encourage you to let's really pray this week. Let's bathe God. Let's really bathe this church about that flag service, about blessing Dr. Gray, about his safe flight to our church, about the Lord bringing people. Brother Mike has to leave for a few weeks. I think it's 5 weeks. He got to go to Alabama because of the service. And so we need to pray for that and different things. So let's have a moment of prayer. And I want Bethel. I brag about this church all the time. Let's really lift up God in prayer. Let's be like that church there in the book of Acts. Let's pray down heaven and see how many doors we can open up, see how many people we can get set free, see how many prayers that God can answer for us. Amen? Okay, I'm going to do this. John Boy, I want you to stand, and you're going to lead in prayer. And then I want Brother Coolidge to pray. And then I'm going to have Brother Steve Browning pray after Coolidge. And Pastor Dave, would you close in prayer?